Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Rider Club Radio. I'm your host, Jeff.
And I'm Liam.
And this week we watch Kamen Rider Ghost Episode 26 and Animal Sentai Juojur Episode 8?
9, I think it was this week.
Fuck!
We can keep up with Ghost episode number every week flawlessly, but Juojur is never going to be right again, I'm sorry.
I've spent so much time and effort trying to make sure that I could get the Kamen Rider episode number right. My brain has no more room for anything.
That's true. Jeff's brain space is limited.
Why don't you tell us what happened on this week's episode of Kamen Rider Ghost so we can get it out of the way.
Okay, alright. Everybody strap yourselves in. So the red air is still there. And Ikari is trying to figure out a cure for it. She wants to analyze the bag they picked up last week.
Wait a second.
And through that...
Before we get into this, I want to take a second to say, at the beginning of this series, people were complaining about the little recap at the beginning of every episode.
Yeah.
That, you know, Takeru was like, my name's Tenkuji Takeru, and this shit happened. The longer this series goes on, the more fucking pointless and unhelpful that little opening scene is. It's like, hey, I died on my birthday. Here's what happened 5 seconds ago in the last episode. That's it. I'm not telling you anything else. At the beginning of this episode, it's like, I died on my 18th birthday. The Ganma have turned the sky red. If you're just starting right now, that little... fucking breakdown of what happened ain't gonna help you at all. You're gonna be like, what the fuck's the Ganma? What is this?
Do you think they give a fuck, Jeff? Do you think they care?
You know what? I don't think they give a fuck about anything. Have you seen this show? I'm just saying, it's so, really starting to bug me now. I was one of the people that was like, just fucking let it go. It doesn't matter. But now it bugs the hell out of me every time.
I skip through that. I skip through the intro, and I skip through that little blurb every time.
I skip through the intro now. I never really liked Ghost's intro.
I like the song, but it makes the show go by, like, 2 minutes quicker. So
that's all that matters.
It's definitely worth it. I strongly recommend it if you don't do it already.
I have been watching, like, the past 5 episodes of the opening because they show clips of Hiroshi Fujioka kicking ass.
Yeah. I saw those. I see bits of those when I'm skipping through it.
But back to
it's not worth it, though.
Back to your regularly scheduled programming.
Okay, back to the recap. So the red air is still there. Akari's trying to find a cure. There's a second airplane Ganma that's flying around and causing the air to still be red that they didn't kill.
They're the
and
Wright
Cannon
brothers.
Is still sick. Yeah, they're the Wright brothers. Isn't that fucking clever?
That is clever, actually. I like that.
Well.
I went to a museum and saw the Wright flyer. Recently, the Wright
brothers.
Oh, yeah,
you went to the
Air
and Space Museum.
Yeah, so it was pretty cool to see him in a shitty show I don't like.
Air and Space Museum's fucking cool.
It's fucking awesome.
Okay, we gotta talk about Ghost eventually on this pod. Let's. So, Takeru and the gang are looking around for the source of the air, and it's popping up really fast because the Ganma's flying around as he's dispersing it. It's a plane Ganma, it flies around, and they have to, like, try and get a lock on where the hell it is. But they can't, so they're running around. Alan, meanwhile, confronts Igor and gets his ass kicked. But he's like, oh, he's dying from the air. And he's like, oh, I have to protect Cannon. And I gotta save Makoto's body. And the Grim icon comes out of his pocket. And he says, Alan, I've been watching.
I'm very impressed.
I'm very impressed. And he allows Alan to use the icon again. He couldn't before because I guess he was just so evil or something. But the icon comes out and allows Alan to use him again. He fights Igor. Takeru appears to help him, and Igor says, "Nope, fuck this, I'm not having this fight," and they leave. And he goes to spread more air. Igor goes to spread more red air. Meanwhile, in the Ganma world, Aelia finds Adonis in the secret chamber, and she tells Alan that she found Adonis. So they both know now that Adonis is alive.
Adonis
He's
also
still
says, take care of Adele, which means nothing to American audiences at all. But I'm sure it has deep spiritual meaning to Japanese children.
Most certainly. So Ikari finishes the cure in the form of a nicotine patch, and she puts it on Cannon's arm, which
shiki.
Cures her. It says shiki,
it says shiki on it.
I thought it was shik with an exclamation point.
Shiki.
Shiki?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Fuck if I know. I barely know English.
That's true. It says Shiki on it, and she puts it on Cannon, and she puts it on Necrom, and it heals them from there. And then she attaches, like, a tank of it to her gun, and she shoots it into the sky. While she's fucking around up there, one of the Ganmas goes to attack her, one of the airplane Ganmas. So Takeru appears and he uses Houdini to go and help her. He like flies in and he fights the Ganma.
Boy, Houdini sure looks great when red, doesn't it?
Boy, Houdini sure looks great, period, with that plastic hood.
It just looks worse when it's just a fucking blue hood and wings on a red-ass body.
Yeah, it does not. It's not. It's no Spider-Man suit. No. It doesn't do the blue and red very well.
No, it doesn't.
So they gang up. Takeru and Necrom gang up, and they fight the two Wright brother Ganmas. And they beat them, and the Wright brother Ganmas are finally dead for realsies. And after that, Takeru and Necrom decide to work together, and they go to the Ganma world to get Makoto's body back for real and deal with this whole Adele shit. So, Jeff, what did you think of Kamen Rider Ghost episode 26?
Liam, let's play a little game.
Okay. Game away.
Name the two characters that help out at the temple that aren't main characters. The guy in the glasses and the guy that wears the jacket. Go. Don't look them up. What are their names?
I looked them up after the episode, actually, because I forgot their names. They're Shibuya and Narita.
All right. You looked that shit up.
I defeated your game.
My point is, could they matter fucking less to this series?
They're completely... Like, we joke about how Igor is kind of a superfluous character who doesn't have a point. Shibuya and Narita really might as well not be there. Like, even from the start, they've done so little.
They're literally interchangeable characters as well. Like, what is Narita's personality?
They're both, like, kind of sniveling.
Yeah.
A little cowardly.
They're both cowardly fucking bitches. That's it.
Just one has big, thick-rimmed glasses and the other doesn't.
The funny thing about it is, anytime they're on screen, I'm like, me and Liam could have played those characters.
Anybody could have played those characters. It's
they just remind me of you and me for some reason, because we're so superfluous and don't matter.
It's like someone who was working on the show, like one of the production staff, somebody higher up, had these two friends who really needed an acting gig.
They're John Toei's nephews.
And they're like, just put these two characters in the show and just have them stand in the background sometimes. The stupid kids will not know the difference.
You might not have noticed, but your brain did. It bugs me that they're so fucking superfluous. Why have them? Is it because they think that there can't be a temple run by one guy, so there has to be at least three guys running a temple?
They're basically extras.
Yeah. Yeah, the takoyaki lady has far more character development and screen time than two characters that have been in the entire show. Like, her screen time since she was introduced, like, 5 or 10 episodes ago, is, like, 4 or 5 times Narita and Shibuya's screen time.
Yeah, the only things I can remember Narita and Shibuya ever doing are getting caught by monsters. They walk around and they're like, I found a monster.
Yeah, they run in and go, people are saying they saw a ghost downtown.
Isn't this so convenient that you have us here to tell you where to go and what to do?
Please give me a check for my work day.
In case you didn't already guess, this episode of Ghost is not very good.
Just like most of the other ones.
That's par for the course. What do you guess?
My favorite part of the episode is there is a hard cut between scenes. Necrom feels conflicted. It doesn't know what to do. Like, there's two hard cuts, actually. Necrom is going to murder Akari. He is going to kill her. And then there's a hard cut at the end of that scene after they talk. And then he's conflicted. He feels human emotions and cares about Kanon and Makoto and doesn't know what to do. Hard cut. He's part of the fucking main cast now. He's part of the group. Yeah. He's the temple kid now.
It was, the thing is, I was watching this and I finished it, and I didn't realize, like, I had to think back and was like, oh my god, I guess this was his redemption episode, because it happened so, like, it's so, blah.
It happens.
How do I say it? Like, it's not like a moment. There's no time when you can say, like, this is it. It's just like, last episode, he's, like, all evil, he's grinning, he's going to go attack Takeru that one time when they're about to make the wish. And then this episode, he's like, oh, I gotta protect everyone. I'm so good. And then you're like, whoa, hang
five
on. Like, I feel
ago,
like I didn't see.
5 minutes ago, he was gonna murder Akari. He was sneaking up on her to fucking throttle her to death. And now he's part of the heroes.
And I get that maybe he's tricking them, but A, if you're trying to trick the audience, it's I guess you've confused the shit out of me, so I guess it's working. And if you're not trying to trick the audience, then what the fuck are you doing with this character?
It's such a stop-and-go fucking development, quote-unquote, I guess.
Development really, really slowly and with a huge upward inflection at the end. Development?
It's like when a teenager is trying to learn how to drive a car and they keep hitting the brakes suddenly over and over. That's Necrom's development from villain to hero. And eventually they just go full out on the fucking gas in one episode. He goes from being conflicted villain to hero.
Like, there's no, I'm trying to think of a good example throughout Kamen Rider of, I'm on the spot here, of, like, a really good, character turnaround from hero to villain. I guess Chase, if you want to look recently,
besides,
of the time when he comes.
Yeah, besides when they, like, turn it back, and they're like, alright, you're a villain again. Your conflict is over.
But, like, when he runs in and saves, Kiriko.
Yeah.
Remember that? And holds her in his arms, like, and you can say, like, oh, that's the scene.
Yeah, that was a big scene.
This Necrom scene is, like, he's getting his ass kicked by a dude, and then he just goes, oh, I gotta protect these two characters, and then he can use Grimm, and I guess that's the sign that he's good now? Because everyone just treats him like that from here on?
I don't know.
I like
the Wright brothers' Ganma. I didn't like the flying Ganma. I thought it was stupid, but then when another one showed up and they were brothers, I was like, holy shit, it's the Wright brothers. I like that.
Yeah, there's a scene when they're like bantering back and forth, and one of them says, all right, brother, like in English or something like that. All right,
tu braza.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, in case these kids didn't know already.
They're American.
Yeah, do Japanese kids know the Wright brothers?
I'm sure they do. There should have been a little thing in the corner that was like, the Wright brothers invented the concept of flight, because all the things in the corner are kind of fucking wrong a little bit.
The Wright brothers were the first humans to grow wings out of their arms.
One of the Wright brothers had machine guns in his fingers.
With the Gammas, they don't do that. They leave it subtle.
The funny thing about the new Wright brother Ganma is that he has a cowboy hat. Just in case you couldn't figure out the Wright brothers are American from the fact they keep speaking English. And they're the fucking Wright brothers.
I'm gonna come right out and say that the Wright brother Ganma in this episode, at the beginning, I thought he was the other one revived.
Yeah, so did I.
I was like, oh, they just brought back... And then the second one appears, and you're like, oh shit, there's two of them. I forgot what his design looked like.
Yeah, so did I. I felt exactly the same way, and when the other one showed up, I was like, I'm alright with this.
Yeah.
I like the other one more posthumously.
Posthumously?
I went to American public school.
You like the other one now that he's dead?
Yeah, I like them both now that they're dead, so we don't have to deal with them anymore. I like that they were the Wright brothers, though.
I have one big problem with this episode.
Okay.
Which is, it's kind of funny. Last episode we were talking about how the show is making a big play about why the Ganma wanna... Or, like, the show hasn't even touched at all on the Ganma's motivation.
Oh, yeah, it turns out you're right.
The world. And we said, oh, wouldn't it be a good angle to play up if they were like, oh, they saw the humans as like these poor, shitty people who live in squalor and they want to lift them up. And that is delivered to us, that very information is delivered to us in this episode in, I think, two lines, and then everyone leaves it.
Two lines.
I was like, whoa, motherfucker, this is the villain's motivation, if we're to be believed?
But it's not their motivation, because their entire goal thus far wasn't turning the regular world into the Ganma world, it was stealing people's fucking souls.
Well, okay, now I don't understand, because they steal people's souls from the beginning to take them to the Ganma world?
I guess.
But people can't survive in the Ganma world because they melt, so...
But
did they change?
Do they know?
Did they not know that?
Do they know that people melt? Because, like I said, Alan was weirded out when he found that out. He still doesn't believe
it. Well, they know now because they're trying to infect the real world, and Alan seems to understand this as well.
I don't know. That's
Does this show have writers?
That is my answer to all of this. I don't know.
You see what I mean when I say this show is written very lazily and, like, just get it out of the way sort of style?
You know what?
There's no thought.
You really should have given a direct outline for what this series was supposed to be when you pitched it to John Toei on Writer Club Radio episode, whatever.
little more specific. It's too bad.
They're still waiting on you to write it. You said that last episode about wouldn't it be great if they were going to up humanity to their level or whatever, and they just took it.
I can't believe how right I've been. So I'm going to go ahead and say right now that Ghost, starting from episode 27 onwards, is going to be the best Kamen Rider you've ever seen. And, yeah, it's going to be perfect from then on. In fact, it's going to wipe away everything, and it's going to completely change. That's my prediction.
Will you stake your reputation on that, Liam?
I'll stake my considerable reputation on that.
Everybody in the world knows Liam's word is his bond.
I just, like, how shitty is this show that I keep making half-assed predictions and they all come true?
Why didn't you put more effort into your predictions? This could have been a great show, you fucking hack.
The predictions only work if they're shitty and half-assed, because that's what the writing is in this TV show.
I guess that's true. That's sad.
It's very sad. So this is, I guess, another episode where I'm going to say that I'm hoping against all hope, against all odds, that this is going to be a multi-episode arc when they go into the Gamma World, and we're not just going to get, like, in, and then some fucking nothing happens, and then they get spit back out. Or, like, they rescue Makoto, and nothing really out of the ordinary happens. Maybe they fight Adele or something, and then they get spat back out, and then everything goes back to the status quo so they can keep fighting Ganmas over and over again. I really hope that's not what happens.
That's the best-case scenario.
I know Adonis is going to die because they give it away in the fucking preview.
Yeah. Speaking of previews, the preview to Juojir had a special guest, the next episode preview.
It was Kaiza.
Yeah,
going to be in the next Kaiza's episode.
Yeah. We're talking about Ghost.
Oh, I can't wait. let's fucking save Juojir.
I don't think I hated this episode as much as you did.
Yeah.
And that's because I cannot bring myself to care anymore. I sit and stare at the screen with a completely blank fucking face until it's over, and then I click the X on the video and move on with my life.
Yeah, that's smart.
I can't,
it's 20 minutes a week.
I don't feel anything anymore. Nothing frustrates me about the show. Nothing makes me think they could have done this way better. It's just like, yeah, it's shit. Alright, next episode.
It's the thing, you can't even say they could have done this way better, because, like, how do you salvage what you have at this point?
That's the
maybe
thing.
At the beginning you could have said that, but
even Kamen Riders that started out poor in the beginning, like Blade, and eventually became much better, they were better by now. They were better before now.
If a show is going to improve, it better fucking improve before the halfway point.
Oh my god, we're past the halfway point now.
Yeah, I guess we're squeaking right past it.
We are past the halfway point and this series is still shit. I'm not even pulling
damn
my punches
shame.
Anymore. Like, if you go back 10 or 15 episodes, I'm like, I don't really like what's happening right now, but, you know, Ghost is still pretty alright. It can be good. No, it's shit. I hate it.
It's a bad show.
It's
definitely a bad show.
I watch it because we have to watch it for this podcast. Rider Club Radio Incorporated made us sign concrete contracts, unbreakable. It says in the contract that if we stop watching Ghost, we are shot to death by firing squad at noon, so...
Oh, good. Good, thank God. Just release
me. At least we won't have to watch Ghost anymore. Tune in next
time
the All Tamaz Rider Club Radio podcast.
Yeah, just get that fucking guy. He can watch Ghost. I want to complain about fucking Onari mugging for the camera like he always does, but like what is there left to be said?
He's done it every episode. Like, no matter how poignant a scene is supposed to be, he still acts like a fucking goober.
Nobody in Ghost feels like a real person. I know we've made this complaint 1,000 times before.
I guess Takeru,
but Ghost doesn't
does.
I guess Takeru feels like an annoying person.
Yeah, he feels like an annoying wishy-washy little bitch. We all know somebody like that. Liam.
Oh, I knew you were going to do that. I knew you were going to say that.
Ain't I a stinker?
Right, like, Ghost is... It doesn't feel like it's about people. It feels like it's about stuff. Just stuff happening.
They're all so fucking bland. Even, like...
Yeah.
They try to infuse so much personality into Onari. But he's still so goddamn bland.
Because they're trying so hard on one single... He's one-dimensional to the absolute max. All he does is he jokes and he laughs And he yells and he makes a silly face.
He doesn't even joke.
And that's
he
it.
Just yells and makes silly faces.
Look, yeah, that's jokes in Japan, apparently.
Oh, no. Jokes in Japan are puns. Name puns.
Yeah, that's true. But that's his only thing. So, like, they play it up and they play it up and they play it up. And you can maybe look at, like, one still and think, oh, I bet that character sure is a fun one. I bet he's got a lot of personality because he looks real crazy. But then if you actually see the show, it's like, that one still was everything he had. You've seen all of it. If you see that one picture of Onari making a stupid face.
There are a few things that still bug me about Ghost. I was really excited when QB joined the cast. Because QB...
Yeah, I bet you loved him in this episode.
QB seemed like a genuine character. Like, he had genuine emotions for what he was doing, unlike everyone else in the show.
Mm-hmm.
However, they have completely underused him and made him completely one-dimensional now. Like,
yeah,
I mean, he was always very one-dimensional or whatever, but now he literally just sits around and says, I want to paint. I want you to paint with me.
He's like a machine, and you put a little, you press a button on the back of him, and he says, I like painting. And that's his, he just sits
inside
and does that.
You pull the fucking string, and he says, I want to paint. I want to paint.
Yeah. I guess that's how he was introduced, yeah. But that was, he was involved in a story when he was introduced. Now he's not.
He had a
purpose.
He
just does that all day.
He had a purpose as well, and they had to, like, go through his painting obsession, his painting mental handicap, to get him to do the fucking Ganma World thing, to get them in it and everything, and it made sense, it was amusing, and it's over. Now he sits around and says, I want to paint.
We were both so glad when he survived the episode, because, you know, he might have added some dynamic to the group, but going back on it now, I wish he just died, because he has no point.
Wouldn't it be great if everybody in the show died?
Yeah, I would rather watch just, like, a show where it's just, like, a... Follow Shibuya and Narita trying to get into their preferred college or something.
Shibuya
and they got
and
troubles with their girlfriends. And, like, one of them has a girlfriend and the other one doesn't, and he's really jealous, and they try really hard on their entrance exams. I'd watch that show over Ghost.
Shibuya and Narita should be the main characters. Like, everyone should die that has the ability to use a belt, and then they have to figure out a way to stop the Ganma invasion by themselves.
Oh my god.
That would be fucking hilarious.
I love stories like that where, like, Superman's out of town and Darkseid is invading. Fucking, what is
fucking Jimmy Olsen gonna do about it?
Yeah. Oh, there should be a whole Kamen Rider show about that.
That would be so great.
That should be the next anniversary series, is, like, Rider 1 is out of town and Shocker's here, and you have to have, like, some little weird, like, some cowardly guy for, like, 50 episodes having to fight Shocker.
They should just have him out of town, and it's just Tachibana Tobe has to drive his car into Mooks to defeat them.
I remember there was one episode of Stronger where Tachibana Tobe, who is just, he's pure comedy relief.
Yeah,
he's
stopped being a mentor type character by that point. He's become, by shades, comedy relief until he wears a silly cowboy hat with a string at all times in Stronger.
Yeah. Yeah, Shigeru Joe does not need him. And there's a bunch of mooks around him, and he does the little electrowave toss thing that Tackle does. And they all fall over, and he's like, whoa, I'm amazing, sick, whoa, and he turns around and Tackle is behind him, and she did it. And he was like, oh, well.
To the original series where when Hongo releases Tachibana Tobe and Taki Kazuya, they both start punching the shit out of mooks. Tachibana Tobe with gray in his hair and a pipe in his mouth punching the shit out of mooks. And he knocks him out.
Oh, God,
too.
I love the 70s. Yeah.
But, back to Ghost.
Oh, I'd want to keep talking about the 70s, please.
What bugs me about QB now is that they're doing, like, a scene where Cannon is, I guess, dying from red sky poisoning or whatever. She's got red sky cancer. And they're like, oh no, what are we gonna do? And the camera pans over, and there's a fucking Picasso monster sitting beside her. it ruins the entire feeling of the scene.
Oh, I would agree with you. I guess the scene was trying to elicit a feeling out of me, but
Yeah, there were no emotions.
I care so little.
Like, canon is like the opposite of Princess Peach. When Princess Peach gets kidnapped or in trouble, you as a player is like, let's go save this bitch. We gotta get Mario's girlfriend like, back. And this canon...
It's more like, if I don't save her, there's no game. But yeah, go on.
Well, if you have a heart, you're like, let's go get Mario's girlfriend back.
Okay,
and, yeah. In this, Canon's constantly in danger, and you just don't give a shit. Because what is her personality besides loves her brother?
Yeah, she likes her brother. She likes takoyaki.
Does she? She's never even eaten any.
That's true. She likes giving other people takoyaki. She likes, she likes forcing it upon.
She likes being near takoyaki.
She likes the smell, but she can't digest it. I guess. It's just a... It's a thing she got over in Ganma World.
Yeah, she's was an icon. She couldn't eat, so she doesn't anymore.
Yeah. Them's the breaks, man.
That's it, I guess. I don't know. Ghost sucks.
I can't
say anything. What do you want me to say about it?
Yeah. How much free takoyaki has that lady given away?
How does she fucking make money?
I don't know.
She's never charged anybody anything.
Like, with other characters, you can maybe assume that they're paying off-camera, like, just before the scene cuts in. But I know for a fucking fact that Alan does not have money, so we're... Like, she's obviously giving it to him for free.
What does she think about him? Like, does she have dementia or something? Like,
maybe
like,
she's got a tab.
He's like, my father, the ruler of the ghost world, said that if the sky is blue, you should believe in your heart. And then my brother fucking murdered him. And took over the world. And she's like, what a silly thing to say.
Like, all she knows is takoyaki.
Alright, Grandma, it's time to go to the home.
Yeah, it's like a reverse... It's like a reverse scenario where you visit your aging grandmother and she babbles nonsense. And you're like, yeah, just eat, Grandma. Just take this thing I give
you. She's the opposite.
Except it's the old lady doing it to the young man.
You just made me sad. I feel sorry for the takoyaki lady. She needs fucking in-home care, or in takoyaki cart care, since she doesn't seem to have a house.
She sleeps just underneath that.
This poor old woman.
Oh, well. That's Ghost, this poor old woman.
She's old, it doesn't matter. Ghost sucks.
Fuck.
I hate to keep saying it, but it does. And some people get mad when we say that. Like, ooh, we get a message every now and then that says, Ghost isn't as bad as you guys think it is. Here's a bullet-pointed list of why it's better.
Most people I see, they say, I like Ghost, but, you know, your points are valid. That's the shit I
hear.
That's
fine.
That's the vicious criticism we receive at Rider Club Radio.
If you want to send us a bullet-pointed list of why you think Kamen Rider Ghost is good, please send that to RiderClubRadio@gofuckyourself.com.
I was waiting for something like that. I was waiting for you to say, like, send it to the garbage bin. No, you did it.
Send that to your fucking recycle bin and then empty that shit.
Oh.
It's enough about Ghost.
Okay, you want to talk about some news?
How many news items do we have this week, Liam?
One.
Fuck!
And it's not really news. There's a DVD coming out for the most recent stage show that was in January.
Uh-huh.
They released a little trailer for the DVD release of it. It's got Ghost and it's got an Ninja. But it's also got, like, Deca Ranger, and there's Drive there, and I saw a bit of Gaim, too. I saw Baron up there. So it's like a big... You know those superhero
stage
shows they put on in Japan?
It's
always
where it's just all fan service all the time.
It's a big event, yeah. Have you ever seen any of those?
I saw one or two. And it's always like, blah, 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 blah. Man, I wish I had more time. And then Den-O comes out and says, did somebody say time?
And then the audience claps like it's fucking Kramer that burst through the door. I saw a clip from one that everyone posts around from a Kabuto stage show, where it's him casting off, like, on stage live, and, like, he stands up and he's got the, you only see his top half, and he's got the whole masked form with the armor, and it, like, breaks in half and falls off, and then he, like, flips his head up to bring the horns up. You know how the horns come up and
that's
like,
great
on his forehead. Yeah, yeah, so, like, they're hanging off of his chin, and he, like, poosh, he, like, moves his head up, and it, like, flips the horns up and locks them in place on his forehead. And I remember thinking, God damn, that's fucking, like, that's so clever for a stage show that they pulled that off.
That's pretty awesome.
And I saw another one where it's, like, Rider One and a bunch of mooks, and they set up a bunch of quarter pipes on the stage, and they ride motorcycles up and on, like, on the rims and shit. And I think the fucking Red Ranger from the first ever Super Sentai was there, too.
Aka Ranger.
Yeah, that's the guy. And they're like, motorcycling around, and I was like, Jesus, fuck it, this is awesome.
Your stage shows ain't no fucking joke.
Yeah, one of these days I'll sit down and watch a whole one, because they look crazy.
I remember seeing something ages ago. It was like a still from a magazine. You know those, like, circular cages at, like, circuses that they drive motorcycles around in?
Oh, yeah, those big spheres?
Yeah. There was one of those, and, like, Kamen Rider was standing in the middle doing, like, martial arts moves, and mooks were driving around on it.
That's so cool.
It was fucking sick. I wish there was a video of that.
Oh, stage shows, that sounds really... We should watch one.
Yeah.
Not live, of course.
No,
but
we,
like,
should
you
go
know,
to Japan and watch one.
There's plenty on YouTube.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Maybe.
You can watch... There's a fucking stage show of Naruto on YouTube.
Yeah, there's like a fucking play. It's like a play.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a reenactment of part one, Phantom Blood of Naruto.
When you said part one, I was like, what the fuck is this, JoJo?
Yeah, that's what I always think, but that's what it's divided. It's part one, where it's like... decent for the first bit, and then it's part two, which is like total fucking garbage the whole way through.
Yeah,
and that's
decent.
How it's Naruto is divided up. Decent for like I don't know, 50 chapters.
Decent,
but they have to do so many tricks and shit to do because like Naruto's about magic and
it's
shit.
It's about wizards.
So to do it on stage is you gotta have like there's all these like rear screen projections and a lot of smoke and mirrors, like literally. To do all that crazy
I'd
shit.
Probably watch that.
And Kamen Rider stage shows, I know, have a lot of that, too. A lot of smoke. And a lot of crazy, crazy, like, lights and fireworks and all kinds of pyrotechnics and shit.
Kamen Rider stage shows rely fairly heavily on humor as well. Like, given, like, fan service humor and stuff. So that they don't have to do, like, a million fights, like a series or something.
Well, yeah, it's obviously, you can't have big, like... big rider kick shit when you can... It's much cheaper to have, like, a scene where they sort of stand around and discuss. That's the weirdest thing, is, like, they're in suit, and clearly the voices are recorded and, like, coming out of speakers, but they have to, like, gesture and shit like they're the ones actually saying it.
Yeah.
That's the weirdest part.
The weirdest part
is... You gotta
is
gesture.
In the series, in all of these series, and this goes for the fucking movies as well, in all of the series, these riders are never in suit, unless they're fighting, and then they immediately transform back.
Yeah.
And as soon as that actor's not available anymore, or they have to do a stage show or something, that motherfucker's in the suit 24/7. They live in it.
He wakes up in it.
That's it.
That's like, it reminds me of some like, cartoons. Like, you remember Batman the Brave and the Bold?
Yeah, where Batman is
where, like,
constantly
he's,
Batman.
He's not Bruce Wayne, he's just Batman. He wakes up and he's got the cowl on.
Well, that's how Teen
that's
Titans works. Like, the Teen Titans cartoon, like, they don't even have secret identities. They're just Robin, Starfire, Raven.
Yeah, there's scenes that show them in their casual life, and they still wear, like, Robin still wears the mask and shit.
I'm well aware that their names are Raven and Starfire, by the way. Nobody correct me on that shit.
Cyborg. Cyborg is another one.
Cyborg is has a secret identity in the comics, and so does Beast Boy. Sort of. He is green.
It's hard to keep, yeah.
And Cyborg is a cyborg.
He is a cyborg. That's another one that's kind of hard to keep.
He's an outside cyborg, too, not a cool Kaizo Ningen.
Yeah, he's no J.C. Denton. He's no Hongo Takeshi.
That's what I was going for. On our Rider Club Radio podcast.
Oh, yeah, this is the show where we talk about Rider Club Radio.
I was talking about Teen Titans and shit.
We got so sidetracked. There's no news. We gotta stretch this one piece of news out as much as possible.
Alright, instead of talking more about American comic book television show adaptations, why don't we talk about Juojer?
Yeah, this week's episode was fucking cerebral.
In this week's episode, at the beginning of the episode, they're trapped in a dream, and shit gets repeated. And I don't know if you know this about me, Liam, but that is literally the thing I hate most about science fiction shows.
Oh, that's the trope you don't like?
Yeah, I fucking hate it. Like, really? Being trapped in a loop is fine, right? That's a cool concept. I grew to hate that shit watching Star Trek The Next Generation, where they're trapped in a loop, and they replay that loop almost exactly 6 fucking times in the episode.
That's why you don't watch Star Trek.
I love Star Trek. Ever. That episode was bad, but most of the other ones are good. I grew to hate it then, when I was younger, and I recently rewatched it by accident, because I was going through the whole series, and I fell on it and didn't realize what was poking me in the ass until it was too late. So it was a fresh hell in my mind, and I've hated that ever since, the looping thing, because they always do it too many times. So when that started on this episode of Juojer, I was like, oh my god, no, I'm gonna fucking hate this episode. This is gonna be the first episode of Juojer that I hate. And they went through it once, twice, and then realized what was happening. And I think that's the best case scenario.
For a 20-minute episode, just enough that they get it, and then on the third loop, shit starts getting different, and that's what you need.
So I didn't enjoy, like, at the beginning of the episode when it started, I was like, holy fuck, did my download fuck up? Because they're killing the monster right now, and there's no, like, little subtle joke hints that it happened at the beginning or whatever. It seems
sitting at your computer like, thanks overtime, you fucked up the encode.
Yeah, it seems like it's fucking like 20 minutes in.
Yeah.
So that was confusing for a second, but then I was like, oh, okay, I get what they're doing. And
Juojer is a show that changes things up and isn't just the same garbage over and over again. How weird.
Yeah. And then when it came back from the opening and the same thing started again, I was like, oh, I get it. I fucking hate this. And then they were like, oh, they're trapped in a dream. It's not like the day is rewinding itself or whatever. Nobody has the power to control time, and we're using it for something so stupid. Which is what happens in science fiction. So I was like, all right, that's a little bit better. And they learn the problem and they solve it at, like, the halfway point. And I'm like, fuck, that's the best case scenario. So this is my least favorite episode thus far, but I still enjoyed it quite a lot, especially because the second half is so good.
Yeah, I like this episode a lot. The stakes are really high, and they solve the problem in a very clever way. I like how a lot of the plots seem to be almost built around the Juojer's specific, like, powers. Yeah. Like, the only reason Sayla can realize she's in a dream is because they're building this plant down below the earth, and it makes a weird screaming noise when it grows, and she's the only one with ears that are strong enough to hear it, so she hears it in the dream.
The screaming she hears is the mole cube. Cube mole.
Oh yeah, the mole cube getting fucked up by the plant's vines and shit. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The cube mole is the real hero of Earth.
Cube mole was so out of nowhere for me. I was like, whoa, what? Like, it burst out, and I was like, hold on a shit, what, did I skip something?
Yeah, it bursts out, cube and it mole. Obliterates the plant, and they're like, you saved the world, Cube Mole! Anyway, back to the episode. I thought that was fucking breakneck. I was like, what the hell?
Yeah, with Cube Giraffe, they, like, dedicate an episode to discovering it. Cube Mole's like, alright, we're here.
You know what, I got really excited Cube for Mole. Cube Mole for a second.
Yeah.
Because it seemed like Sayla was very heavily connected to Cube Mole's introduction. She's the one who thanked him, she's the one who heard him, she's the one who used him. I was like, holy shit, is she gonna flip her helmet back and have a mole form?
Wouldn't that be cool?
That would have been sick. But no, only Yamato gets to have second forms.
I wonder if anybody else is going to have second forms. I don't think there's enough clicky buttons on the thing.
No, all the second forms are going to be for Yamato.
Ah, that's a shame.
That's fine. Yamato deserves them. He's a great guy.
They don't divide up the power-ups anymore. Well, actually, I guess they never did, really.
No, not really.
I remember seeing Tokyuger. This was back when I wasn't watching Sentai at all. And I would see pictures of him. He had, like, a big gold train on his shoulders, the red one.
Boy, that looked good, right?
sure. I was like, oh, I wonder if, what kind of upgrades do the others get?
None.
Nothing.
None.
No. Just the red guy.
Well, it's like in Rider, most secondary riders don't get fucking upgrades.
Yeah, but, like, riders aren't meant to be an equal team. Riders are more dynamic. They're more fluid than that.
Riders are, there's a guy who matters and the other guys fucking don't. That's what Rider is.
I guess if you're watching a bad show, I guess.
It's true. Good shows.
But Jujur, I would think it was sick if the other ones would flip their mass up, but you're right, it's probably not gonna happen.
That would be awesome, though.
Yeah.
But,
Well.
I still really liked the episode. I thought it was... Me too. The focus on Sayla was great. I thought it added a real... There was, like, a lot of realism in this episode for a children's show about giant cube monsters based on animals from another dimension. Sayla's, like, crying because she's trapped outside of her fucking world and she missed her parents' anniversary, an event that she always went to with her little brother and her family got together. And that's real shit.
Yeah, Amu's talking about how she missed her mom's birthday, and there's even a bit at the very end where you get a little hint that Yamato's parents might be, there's something going on
they're
with them,
because
he gets
dead.
Really uncomfortable. Probably fucking murdered. But it's nice that they're still sort of like giving these little character details and sort of stringing you along.
They got murdered by an eagle man.
They got, wouldn't that be a fucking sick twist? Oh my god!
I should be writing these shows.
Shit, that would be so cool! Oh, it's not going to
happen.
But,
I mean, who knows? This series has been really good, and they've pulled out some shit, so who knows?
Yeah, what if the eagle killed his parents for whatever reason, and that's why Yamato was alone out in the woods or something, and the eagle found him, and he was like, well, I'm not going to kill him, he's just a kid, so sorry, kid, here's this cube.
Maybe his parents were hunters.
Maybe.
Well, here's the thing. If you would have been watching, like, the episode preview or whatever for the episode where Larry the Gorilla showed up, and in that episode preview, it shows Yamato flip his helmet back and he becomes a gorilla man. And I would have said, wouldn't it be nuts if it turned out that him taking those gorilla powers from him was killing Larry? You would have been like, that's fucking not gonna happen. But
that's
it
true.
Did.
That's true, but that's a smaller leap of logic than the one we're making now, I think.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know, I hope so. That would be
It's probably just that his parents fell down a fucking chasm or something, and Eagle Man found him in the woods and was like...
I thought you were going to say fell down a flight of stairs. For some reason, that was what I was...
Fell down some forest stairs.
Just so unceremonious, just they fucking fell down a flight of stairs. Like sorry, kid.
They choked on ice and died. And Eagle Man found him in the woods and was like, I'm your big brother now. Here's a cube.
Oh, well.
My favorite moment in the entire episode is when they reveal how Plant Man from Mega Man 6 uses his powers to make them all go to sleep. They all act really drowsy and then suddenly fall down, and Leo falls down into a relaxed hands behind his head and his legs crossed pose.
That was
fucking awesome.
And I like that since it's like a poison that you breathe, it affects Tusk more because of his super sensitive nose.
And they just started splashing water in his face.
yeah, it's a nice little detail.
And they Amu shoved paper up his nose.
Yeah, they gotta keep him.
You know,
that's cool.
I agree with anachronism on Twitter. She said that, I think it's she. Holy shit, I'm sorry if not. I'm just gonna make the leap of faith. She said, it bugs the shit out of me that the shark has super hearing and the elephant has super smell. They should be switched.
Well, the long nose means the more smell sense.
And the no ears means the more hear sense.
Sharks are known for their super ears.
I don't know.
I still haven't gone over that. Because, like, cats can smell, too. They can give the smell to the cats.
Leo and Amu should be able to smell really well, too.
Everyone should be able to smell, really. Except for Yamato, I guess.
What is Amu's special power? Maybe it's like a night vision thing. Maybe. She just hasn't been able to use it yet.
We've only had two Amu episodes, and it hasn't come up yet.
Yeah.
Maybe it will in the next Amu episode.
Maybe. She's the only one whose special power hasn't really been used yet that I can remember.
Yeah. Yeah, you're
maybe
right.
Maybe that's a plot point.
Maybe she has super, like, touch? It seems like a lot of them are senses.
Maybe she
like
has
hearing,
super
smelling,
kawaii-ness.
See. Maybe that's it.
She has super Genki powers.
Yeah, it was just super Genki.
Who knows? Juoju's really good. It made me enjoy an episode that is literally my fucking most hated trope in all sci-fi.
I guess I understand if you have a bad experience with it, but I don't have any problem
it's
at
every
with
time I've
Day
ever
thing.
Seen a time loop episode of anything, it goes on for far too long.
Yeah, I guess.
And it's just really... I hate repetition anyway. It's why I fucking hate memes. Let's just repeat the same shit over and over again. Isn't it funny the 9 millionth time you've heard it?
Everyone hates memes.
Everyone but us loves memes.
I wish everyone hated
memes. That's why we're smart and everyone else is dumb.
Create your best Rider Club
meme
and
send
it in.
No. Do not tell them that. No. Never. Fucking never. If you send us memes, you're getting blocked. It's over.
Oh.
I'm putting my foot down.
I'll accept it. I'll accept it.
Liam will accept it. Send them all to Liam at RiderClubRadio.org. RiderClubRadio.gov. Yeah. I'm sorry.
The business account, yeah. You want to talk about emails, Jeff?
You know what? Maybe.
Open up that mailbag.
All right. Let me lift it up here. Oh! There it is, all that mail. We got two emails.
Why don't you just read the fucking mail, you stupid asshole? Jesus Christ.
Holy shit. What crawled up your ass?
Just read it.
I think I'm going to pussyfoot around a little bit more and make Liam even angrier.
Oh, no.
Our first email is from short-time listener, long-time sending us fucking emails, Dewey Defeats Truman.
Okay.
Who says, watching Ghost feels like a fucking chore now. For some reason, I keep watching, though. I think it's just because I'm at least interested in Alan's character, at least a little bit. I don't know what that feels like.
Yeah.
What makes you keep watching a series that you really aren't feeling? I know personally there has to be at least one reason, because when there isn't one reason, you get something like fucking the Ninja, which is probably the only time I've flat out dropped a Toku series.
Oof, the Ninja was pretty lame.
What's your reasoning, Liam? What keeps you watching a show you don't really like?
Well, it is because I make a podcast dedicated to talking about that show.
That is legitimately the reason. There's no joke here.
No, I think I think if Rider Club Radio wasn't on, I would probably still be watching Ghost.
I wouldn't.
Because A, it's just 20 minutes out of the week. And B, I love to complain. It's my favorite thing in the world.
You know what? I probably would still be watching just so we could complain to each other about it.
Yeah, we would still make Rider Club Radio. We just wouldn't record it and put it on the internet. We'd just be talking. And C, I can say I watched it. I can be like, I chugged through this shit and it sucked.
It's like,
don't watch it.
It's like people who go to Vietnam don't really want to talk about the specific experiences, but they'll tell you they went to Vietnam.
Yeah, the ones that saw some real shit, they don't talk about
that. Saw some real shit, like the past 10 episodes of Ghost.
Well, hang on. No, that's an insult to Ghost Watchers. To compare them to the comparative playground that was Vietnam.
Cold-blooded.
Oh, I hope no Nam vets are listening to this.
Probably not.
I think we've seized a sizable amount of the Vietnam veteran demographic on the internet.
If there's one thing that Vietnam veterans love, it's Japanese children's television shows.
Oh shit. No, really, just to say I finished it, it would be the only reason. And even then, like, it wasn't enough to keep me watching Tokyujin and Ninja.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Well, you're not big on Sentai anyway. You would much rather continue watching a shitty Rider show.
Yeah, I have zero patience for bad Sentai. I have a lot of patience for bad Rider.
That like sums up my whole side of it as well. Like, the real number one reason why I continue to watch it is because we do Rider Club Radio, and there would just be a big giant hole in the series if we weren't following the series.
What would we do?
I guess we'd watch an older series and do reviews of it, but nobody wants to watch that shit.
God, wouldn't that be fun?
That would be a lot more fun than doing Ghost, for sure. And I feel like we'd get a far more divisive opinion between us on older series as well.
That's true.
With Ghost, it's like we're both suffering. We have to lean on each other's shoulders to deal with it.
This is true bonding.
This is a psychiatrist session to get the fucking ghost out of our brains.
It's therapy. Shit.
I would continue to watch just so I could bitch with Liam about it.
Yeah.
And anybody else who was watching. I was really sad when all the rest of our friends dropped it, because there was nobody else to bitch about it with.
I guess they're smarter than us. Yeah,
they didn't start a podcast. They all turned me down when I asked them, so I had to ask Liam.
You had to scrape the bottom of the barrel when it came to co-hosts. So, yeah.
I had to go to a temp agency, and Liam was there in his street rags.
I lived at the temp agency, yeah, literally.
He was just arrested the day before for stealing bread, so...
Jesus.
That's the legitimate answer, though.
That's that.
And I've mostly dropped every series that I didn't really have any interest in. That's why there was a big blank spot between Double and Gaim for me when it comes to Rider.
You didn't like Oz?
I didn't like the first two episodes of Oz. Or they didn't interest me as much as Double. I feel like I was trying to hold everything to the standard of like early Heisei and Double.
Yeah.
And I needed to allow things to be their own things, even if they did seem kind of, I don't know, there's a lot of similarities between the style of Oz and the style of Double. Because, you know, it was directly after, and it's sort of the Neo-Heisei style now. I hate to use the term Neo-Heisei.
Just use post-decade like a normal functioning human.
All props to Emperor Neo-Heisei of the Neo-Japanese Empire of Tomorrow.
Oh, Neo Tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm watching all those shows now, so suck on it. Don't send hate mail to me.
I was waiting for you to finish your point. Like, what is he going to say?
I don't know. I don't have a point.
Suck my ass.
You know me. I have no fucking point. Our next email.
Oh, what's the next email?
It's from Kelsey.
Okay.
And again, I assume she says, that's the beauty of Rider, right? Even if you don't like some Rider stories, there's most likely others that you can latch on to, and it all comes down to preference. That being said, I'm pretty sure it's pretty unanimous that Saban's Masked Rider is the worst thing to have ever happened.
Masked Rider is, it's top 10 worst things
ever
made by
Saban's
human hands.
It's Saban's Masked Rider up here, right? Like, right at the top, right underneath Holocaust.
Just barely edging it up, yeah. Furbus was what pushed it over.
If you put stuff into a real-world point of view, Saban's Masked Rider is the biggest atrocity committed by humankind.
Some people made it out of the Holocaust. Nobody made it out of Saban's Masked Rider.
Fuck, this is all getting cut. It's all hitting
the pool. Maybe. Maybe just... We'll see. We'll see how funny. We'll see how hard I laugh in editing.
You're
going
to be listening
That's gonna
to
determine...
this later on, and you're going to get to this part and go, oh my god. I can't believe we fucking said that. Anyway. Amazon's is pretty great, and it has gotten me thinking a little, and I'm wondering, do you think that Toei should turn this into a yearly tradition? You get the main Rider series that still caters to the audience it was made for, but then you get a web series that has a little bit more freedom in what it can do, a la Marvel's Netflix shows. I heard your answer in the middle there somewhere.
Yes, you have my answer.
Yeah, I thoroughly agree with that. There should be more Rider stuff, and it should be high quality, like Amazon's.
I had another idea for a fucked up perversion of a Rider series.
Do tell.
And it is, of course, of Ryuki.
Fuck off.
But, like, mash it into 13, like, 40-minute episodes is really good for that kind of formula. Because Ryuki kind of... It suffered from being stretched
one episode
quite a bit, I think.
For one rider.
Well, I think Ryuki should have been just, like... You could have made it 13 episodes and just be about, like, five riders. Even maybe even
what
four.
About the 13 riders, Liam?
Doesn't fucking matter. You don't really need Odin. You don't need fucking Scissor. You could just have it about the four main guys. Oja, Ryuki, Knight, and Zolda.
What about Raya?
Because they have
Raya?
The four... Who gives a fuck about Raya?
Dude, you know why I care about Raya. You watch the show.
Yeah, I guess he's a nice guy. But,
yeah, he's a nice guy, but also, you know.
I had an idea that was, like, totally different just using the same basic formula of the fight. The fight between 13 Rider, or between, you know, a bunch of riders.
Remake the movie Highlander. And
yeah,
have
totally.
The Highlander be Ryuki, and have, God, what's the villain's name?
The Kurgan.
Have the Kurgan be Knight.
Well, they already did that. It was called Kamen Rider Ryuki, the TV show.
No, fuck off.
No, not really. The idea I had was a guy whose girlfriend has Japan disease. that she's gonna die. But they don't tell you what it is. It's Japan disease. And
that's a new one for the Rider Club Radio glossary.
Kenzaki Shiro approaches him and says, hey, you can cure her. All you gotta do is fight. But he doesn't tell him the details. He just gives him a deck and says, you gotta fight. And he says, okay, that sounds like a great deal. And he joins and he doesn't tell her. So he approaches her later and says, you can cure yourself if you fight. And he gives her one. And so now they have to kill each other to finish the game.
That's a good idea. How's she gonna fight if she has Japan disease, though? She's bedridden with a towel on her forehead.
No. That's a cold. Japan disease, you're up and walking, and then suddenly you just die.
Oh, it's like Japan disease where you cough in your hand, and there's, like, red paint.
Yeah. Yeah, you cough into your napkin that has red paint on it, and then you fall over and you're dead. With no prior
okay,
signs.
Okay, I understand now.
It's like just like Shuichi. He claimed to be dying of a horrible disease, but he was just perfectly fine
mm-hmm.
the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the girl mm-hmm. would have. And in the end, she would kill him and use the wish to revive him, thus dooming herself.
Oh.
And they would just fucking live out the last years of their life together.
Spoilers!
Spoilers! And the lesson would be that sometimes life is fucking ass, and if you try and fight it, it only gets worse.
That's true.
The end.
That's a real world fucking dynamics right there. That's a good lesson to learn. Children need to learn that the world is gonna shit all over them and there's nothing they can do about it.
Yep. There's my rider idea. Now watch next year, John Toey's gonna fucking twist it into something horrible.
Yeah. I guess so.
I guess.
You know what? I would do a movie that is not a movie, like a 13-episode series called Kamen Rider. And
okay.
It would use the Kamen Rider the First suits. And it would have good actors and a good story, and it would follow the manga a little bit.
Oh.
It would follow the manga a little bit.
Just a little bit.
But it would have the same ending as Hongo Takeshi's story's ending. And
in the show?
In the manga.
In the manga. Okay. Isn't that like he dies and gets put into a brain?
Yeah, spoilers for a series the fucking 70s, but he gets murderized by the 12 Shocker Riders.
Shocker Riders.
And one of them gains his mind back and becomes Rider 2.
Don't they share a brain too later?
Yeah. The manga's weird.
Yeah.
But I would just go...
Yeah, the manga does a lot of crazy shit.
It would just go up to the time when he dies, and Rider 2 takes over for him, and that's it. The end.
Yeah. That, like, a whole, like, he passes the torch
and
the show ends.
And don't do a...
Yeah,
you don't even
good.
Have to do a sequel. Just that. That's the end. Rider 2 is going to fight for everlasting peace. The end.
I would watch that.
And have it be dark... And, like, the original, like, 12 episodes of Kamen Rider were very dark and atmospheric and almost,
like...
weird
sort of pseudo-art house feel.
Yeah, it was, like, pseudo-art house. That's a good way to put it. Do that.
Yeah.
And it'll be fucking great. Don't make it the first.
Don't make anything the first. ever.
That's what I would do. Also, a good series that, like I said this before, a good series that could be trimmed down, I would just edit the fuck out of it, really, and put Kamen Rider Kuga on a Netflix-style service and make it, like, 20 episodes or something.
Yeah, I think. Just there's a lot of fluff you can trim out of Kuga. If you cut Kuga down to just its core, like, just the good episodes, just the ones that, like, were important.
Yeah, it'd be, like,
plot.
25, maybe.
Yeah, it'd be, like, 20-25, and it would probably be the best Rider series that ever existed without all the chaff, but... Oh, well.
Of course, you could do that treatment to any Rider series, really. Like, take it and do, like, an Amazons-style update.
Yeah, that'd be sick. We should go through... That would be a nice segment, like, go through all of them from start to finish, and just what would we do as an Amazons show.
That would be a really fucking long segment. Where are we even going to put that?
No, I mean, like, one per episode, one season per episode where we discuss
it. We can do that when we're not doing Amazons.
Yeah, that'd be probably pretty good, yeah.
Please be excited. Please look forward to it.
Please, I guess, if we don't forget.
If we do it.
Please be
excited. If we don't do it, don't look forward to it.
Please. Is that all the emails
Those
we got?
Those are all the emails we got.
Are we done for the week?
This is going to be a short episode. We hope you enjoyed
now we're
it.
Over.
If you want to participate in Kamen Rider discussion... You can send us emails at riderclubradio@gmail.com, or you can discuss with us in person, live 24/7 chat at Rider Club Radio on Twitter.
24/7, unless we're asleep or at work or out busy with our friends or doing whatever.
I don't have any of that.
Yeah, okay. Jeff will be on there. Also, there's a stream this Saturday.
Oh, yeah! There is a stream, a big stream, because Kamen Rider J-Day is this Saturday. You motherfuckers better be going outside and planting a tree. And you take a photo of it, and you send it at Rider Club Radio on Twitter. We'll make, I don't know, like a scrapbook? Collage?
I'll print it out, and I'll look at it, I'll hold it in my hand, and I'll think about you.
Well...
For a fleeting moment.
What a prize. We'll make a collage of all your photos. Like, I'll edit your favorite meme, the Do It For Her meme, and I'll put all the trees on it.
My favorite meme is the Let's All Pretend That Kamen Rider Ryuki's Ending Is Bad meme. I thought that one was
hilarious.
It's
so good.
Yeah.
It's such a meme, everyone. Kamen Rider J-Day is this Saturday, and there will be a stream at 8 p.m. Eastern of Kamen Rider J Mega Non-Subs.
Yeah, so it's good subs, don't worry, and that'll be at the SyncTube, and we'll link to that like 100 times on our Twitter in the coming days, so don't worry about missing it.
Going around as well for Kamen Rider J-Day. So print that out and put it up on your fucking refrigerator.
Magnet it, put it on your LinkedIn page.
Put it on your Tinder.
Yeah.
Put it on your grinder.
Put it as your Tinder pick.
You'll get all the ass.
Everyone will swipe you. What's the good? Is right the good direction?
I'm
or is 87 that the bad
years old, Liam.
I don't tind.
I've never tended or grinded. I would like to thank at the Hero of Mobius on Twitter.
Oh yeah.
For dropping us some Google Drive links that have all of the non-TVN subs for all of the movies and series and shit in them, and one that has the incomplete series of Garo, which we will make use of eventually.
Someday, yeah.
Thank you, at the Hero of Mobius. We appreciate
it. Thank
you, man.
And thank you for listening to my podcast.
Your podcast!
My podcast.
Well, have fun with doing it yourself, motherfucker. I quit!
I will. Good. They love me.
Everyone loves Liam. He wins the character poll every year.
Good night, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. See you next time.
Bye.
Yeah.